Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost comes from our Old Testament reading of Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We don't often hear from the book of Proverbs on Sunday morning in the divine service. In fact, if I read and went through the lectionary correctly, over the course of 3 years, we only read twice from this book of Solomon. And I'm not sure why. This being the word of God and all, it speaks the same truth to us as all the rest of the books in the Bible do. But I suppose that when you only have a select few Sundays in which to cover the entire Old Testament, some things are going to be left out. But that's fine. It really is. That's when and why personal devotions come into play. And I'm sure most of you have probably read through Proverbs more frequently than we do here in the divine service. So no need to answer out loud. I'll just assume the best of you all. But anyways, in our text for today, we do have Lady Wisdom and we have Lady Folly. The two of them, they bookend this chapter. And while they may look quite similar, they could not be more opposite. But before we get started on this, we have to have just a little bit of clarification. And I know that this might seem a bit oversimplified, but just so that we're all on the same page and so that we all understand, Lady Wisdom is Jesus. And I know, we may be asking ourselves, then why is wisdom a lady and Jesus is a man? And don't worry, calm yourselves. Solomon has not gone woke, nor is this a diatribe on the ridiculousness of the divine feminine that you might have heard on the interwebs or in novels. No, this has to do with the boring stuff of the Hebrew language, about how within this Hebrew language, nouns have what we call genders, meaning that they have specific ways in which they're going to be used and how they're going to be spelled based upon which category they're in. And I know it all sounds really boring and really confusing, especially for us English speakers whose language doesn't work like this. So just know that Solomon is only speaking like they do in Hebrew, and that the word wisdom is feminine, not Jesus. So for the rest of this sermon, understand that when I'm speaking of wisdom, I'm speaking of this second person of the Trinity. And so wisdom has built her house. She's made it with seven pillars, and seven being the perfectly biblical number and all, let's just say that God has created the entire world. All of it is His, meaning that all who dwell within are His as well. There isn't a single good thing on this planet that isn't God's. There isn't a single human being that He hasn't woven together intimately, personally, specifically in His mother's womb. And yet this perfect creation of ours has gone awry, and that is nothing of His fault, of course. He didn't desire sin. He didn't create evil. He didn't envision death when He formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and created Eve from the rib of her husband. But sin has entered into this once perfect place. And with sin comes death. Suffering, too, along with all of the other horrible things that we have to deal with in this life. Sin has also rendered all of us simple and lacking of good sense. And by good, I don't mean as if there's something better, but good as in being from God. What is good is of God. What is evil is not. But we, being sinful and fallen, and as Proverbs tells us, simple and lacking good sense, means that we cannot, for the life of us, in and of ourselves, understand the things that are good. We can't grasp onto the things of life, the things of salvation, the things of forgiveness, as good and as from God. All of that is now intimately foreign to us. Wisdom is not a thing that we can comprehend, meaning that Jesus and all of His good and gracious gifts for us are but mysteries to our simple minds. We can't fathom any of it. not by ourselves. It must be taught to us, proclaimed to us, preached into our simple ears. And so wisdom, as it says in Proverbs, sends out her young women. Wisdom sends out the proclaimers of the gospel, of his word, so that we might come to know the things that are good, the things that are of life. But there is another woman in this text as well, and her name is Folly, and she's a seductive woman. It makes all the heads turn when she strolls into the ball in her stunning red dress that no one can take the eyes off of. And she's a loud woman too, Solomon says. Her voice carries over the din of the party, drowning out the band and making sure that everyone hears what she says. The only thing is that this woman knows nothing. And that doesn't mean that she's stupid and has nothing to say, but that she has nothing good to say. Meaning that she has no wisdom in her words. She speaks nothing of good, only of evil. She speaks nothing of life, only death. She speaks nothing of God, only of herself, or maybe, perhaps, the sinful things that she wants us to be enticed by. So she says stuff like, "Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." And this isn't all she says, of course, but it gives us a good taste of what comes from her lips. And it's these things, these words, as she whispers time and time again into all of us passers-by who are walking down the straight path of our own. She says things that our itching ears find really alluring. She says things that our sinful flesh can get right on board with, meaning that she says things to us simpletons that we find to be most fascinating, tempting us to indulge in all of the things that are not good, that are not from wisdom, that are not of God. Now, at risk of continuing to speak in too many riddles, I'll try and make it a little bit more clear. Lady Folly is a temptress. She tempts us with things that we love but are not good for us. She tempts us to remain selfish, when we should, in fact, look first to be of service to our neighbors. And she tempts us not to bite our tongue when we should have, but to actually let loose all of those words that never should have been spoken, but then, of course, are spoken in earnest, and we can never take back. She tempts us to look out for number one, to step on whoever we have to in order to win the race, to not have pity on the weaker brother, to not act in love and service, to not care for what is good, truly good, godly good. In short, she tempts us to sin. So call this woman Satan or the world or our own sinful flesh. She takes the form of many different things while all the time appearing to be the belle of the ball, the Snow White in which there is none fairer. And we love her words. Goodness, don't we love her words? So much so that we eat them up like candy, like that tempting apple that leads to death in Disney's fairy tale. And spoiler alert, doesn't the story of Snow White seem eerily similar to what we find at the beginning of Genesis? But anyway, it's not just that Lady Folly speaks words of temptation, but she also speaks words that are in direct contrast to what Lady Wisdom says to us. And it's these words that end up to be the most damaging, the most deadly, the most damning. For as the last verse in our text actually says, the one who listens to the words of Lady Folly does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. For as much as Lady Folly delights in getting us to sin, and she does, and despise all of the good and temporal things that Lady Wisdom has given to us, much more so does she desire that we would hate all of the eternal things that Lady Wisdom would have us know. For Lady Wisdom's prepared a feast for us. It says as much in our text for today. She's slaughtered her beast, she's mixed her wine, she's also set her table. And then she sends out the proclaimers of the gospel to invite all to hear her words, to all of us simple and all of us who lack sense, to turn into her banquet and feast on the table that she's prepared. Come, she says, eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. This is a call to you right here and right now. Lady Wisdom shouting from the rooftops that she's prepared a feast for you to dine upon, a feast that leads to life, a feast that draws you from your simple ways of sin and doubt and self-righteousness. Hers is a feast that grants you insight, that grants you wisdom, that gives you the things that are good and the things that are from God for you. But Lady Folly, she doesn't want any of that. And she doesn't even offer you a feast, but would rather have you dine on things that aren't given to you, that you actually have to get for yourselves, but that you acquire through theft and shame and evil. She would have you eat that which may sound so very enticing, all of the sin that you could ever indulge in, all of the selfishness that you could ever imagine, would have you not look to anybody except yourself to sustain you in this life. But these are the things that are in reality only going to bring you death. They're not from God. So they're not for your good. They're for your ultimate demise. Lady Folly, she knows this. The thing about it, I know, Lady Wisdom's words sound too good to be true. And also, they don't entice the fallen flesh because they aren't of fallenness. They're from the things from above. And so, all the stuff that Lady Wisdom says, it's so very difficult for the fallen sinner to believe. What do you mean I can't do whatever I want and act however I feel? What do you mean that I'm not good enough all on my own? And how could it ever be true that God wants only good things for me when bad stuff happens? How do I know that He actually is going to give me everything that He's promised? Just free as a gift, without any merit or worthiness in me. That doesn't seem true. Yes, I know. The things that Lady Wisdom actually says, it seems foolish to our simple ears. Life and salvation, forgiveness of sins, given and granted and gifted out of God's gracious goodness. That's why Jesus, He says in our gospel reading, no one can come to Him, can hear His words proclaimed to them and actually believe them unless it's granted to them by the Father. Otherwise, it's just too foolish and silly. God has to work His way past and through our simpleness, past our fallenness, the fallenness that wants no part of Him. He needs to be the one who opens our eyes to the light, our ears to His word, our hearts to His spirit, so that we might finally know that the good things that we need only come from Him. And everything else, everything that makes sense to our sinful, fallen, simple flesh, actually pulls us further and further away from Him. And yet, despite the fact that our ears would rather hear from Lady Folly, He still speaks His good gospely words into our ears nonetheless. And it all culminates in our gospel reading for today when Jesus fulfills what Lady Wisdom says in Proverbs and declares, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." I know it's a hard word for the sinner to believe that Jesus is that sacrifice that pays for the sins of the whole world, yours included. That Jesus has given His life so that you may live with Him eternally. That Jesus actually brings to you all the stuff that He won on the cross at His sacrifice. And He gives it to you at a table that He's prepared in the presence of all of His enemies, Lady Folly included. And then He actually says to you, "Come, eat of my bread, which is my body, and drink of the wine which I have mixed, which is my very blood. Receive from me everything good, most importantly, the forgiveness of your sins, life and salvation. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation." I know, it all sounds too good to be true. Jesus has done it all for me. that his word of forgiveness actually brings about what it says, that simple water can make me a child of the Heavenly Father, that the things of bread and wine are actually his body and his blood. But no matter how much it sounds too good to be true, too foolish to be real, too simple to be from God, it all is. It's good, and it's true, and it's real, and it is from God, and it is for you. And then at the end of all of that, there's not much else for us to say except echo the words of St. Peter from our gospel reading. Sometimes we actually get to say it in the divine service, depending on which liturgy we're using, but you know it. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You're the wisdom that was so long ago foretold. You're our light. You are our salvation. What else should we do except receive the good things that you would have for us? In the name of Jesus.